Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. A special guest joining us, general manager and president of basketball operations for the Dallas Mavericks, Donnie Nelson, joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, sir.
He's in the building!
How's Triple Trouble doing?
Do what now?
How's Triple Trouble?
Triple Trouble. Oh, you heard it. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the show, man, and congrats.
Heck yeah.
Nice win last night, but... Okay, so my frustrations with Porzingis, thanks for joining us and sharing your perspective. He's hurt. He hasn't gotten better on defense, and he's high maintenance about what specific role he plays in the offense. How would you react to those criticisms?
Oh, I don't think they're accurate, you know. Look, the reality is that, you know, when you play with Luka, you better be able to shoot the long ball, you know, because we're at our best when he's breaking down defenses, getting in the paint, shooting that nice little floater or kicking it out for a three. He's been out for a few games, so you got to give him a chance to get his sea legs. I thought we were really, really happy with the way he looked, the way he moved, his production, and to have, momentum and him have two more games, get under his belt for the playoffs. We're pretty excited.
Oh yeah. I mean, when he's on, it's good, but I mean, to all three of those things are inaccurate. Is he a healthy player in your assessment?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a maintenance thing. And as you know, with all of our players, whether it's, you know, KP or Luka or, you know, the last guy on the bench, you know, we're going to do what's in the best long-term interest of their careers and futures. I think our medical staff, Casey, played it perfect where he was, again, moving really, really well. I think the extra rest was probably needed. And we got to take care of business on, you know, one of the next two games, and then we got to, you know, get ready for the postseason.
How did KP come out of last night's game feeling? Was that just rolling him back in slowly?
You know, I mean, look, there's a lot of things that go into that. There's, you know, there's matchups. There's, I think it was a really good night for him to, again, slowly wade back into, normalcy in terms of rotation. We were pretty pleased.
Donnie, thanks again for coming on with us. I want to ask you about the toughness of your team. This is something that you guys were preaching, you know, at the start of the season. Hey, we got to get tougher. We got to be better in a lot of these games. Where do you think the toughness level is with your team right now? Are you still looking for that?
Well, I mean, look, the reality is we're toughness. I mean, this is not boxing or football. You know, it's not the strongest, toughest guy out there wins when the dust settles. It's about skill, talent, creativity. I think it's really important that, Dwight Powell and, some of our, frontline guys, bring that to the table. And I think that that's, trending in the right direction. With Dorian and Richardson, that gives you some mid and backcourt, length and athleticism and defense. And so I think, look, we're a young team. I mean, everything goes through and starts with Luka. And the postseason is a lot different than the regular season. You know, we're hoping to build on what we did last year. This is just a natural process for a young team to build on and go through. I mean, the good news is, seems like we're, you know, playing well at the right time. You know, Brunson, Hardaway, everyone's kind of kicking in. Who knows? It's a pretty wide open field at this point. So we could catch fire at the right time, and, you know, who knows how far we go.
Have you figured out, though, as a staff, or can you have an answer about why there tends to be some struggles against teams that are they're not as good as you?
You know, honestly, I think that's, you know, again, just part of growing up. And, you know, two of our best players, you know, are not they have limited playoff experience. And the reality is, like anything in life, you've got to go through the ups and the downs and, you know, get sand kicked in your face and go through those situations. So, yeah, that's just, you know, part of the process of a young team that is kind of, you know, growing into, you know, what we hope is a perennial deep playoff contender.
So when you guys initially traded for KP, Donnie, it was really interesting because Tim Hardaway Jr., at least to me and to a lot of people, I think, was seen as sort of, hey, if you'll take his salary, you can get Porzingis. And he has stepped up in such a big way and really carried you guys on a lot of different nights this year. Has your guys' view of him, I'm sure you were high on him when you got him, but has your guys' view on him changed in terms of like the long-term viability and just what you think of him as a player?
Sure. I mean, look, I had the good fortune of coaching his dad in Golden State, and you talk about toughness. He was pound for pound probably the toughest player on the Maverick or on the Warriors back then. And obviously when you play for Pat Riley, and you've got to have the level of mental toughness. And Timmy's cut out of the same cloth. You know, Timmy is the ultimate competitor. He's a guy, when he catches fire, look out, he can go for 40. He's trending well at the right time. He'll be the first to tell you that, you know, life in New York was a little bit different. You know, when you play with a true point guard and someone that can, you know, put the ball on the money at 30 feet and split hairs with his passes, your looks are a lot cleaner and better when you play with Luka Doncic.
Indeed. It's Donnie Nelson here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Speaking of Luka, where are you with him and the refs, and how important is it that he changes his tone or his approach to his objections to the calls?
Well, I mean, the thing that you can never take away is the passion. And I think you see that, you know, from ownership to coaching to management to players on the court. It's just, you know, you get involved with not just games, but every possession, and you're, you know, trying to put your best foot forward in the West, and it's not easy. And so I think Luka's really taken a nice step in keeping his emotions and in check. I think it's a trend that you'll see to continue to happen. And look, it's a maturity thing. I think to have exchanges, you know, with referees are certainly, you know, part of our game. Disagreements are part of our game, but you have to, you know, choose your words carefully. And in Luka's case, I strongly encourage him to speak Slovenian.
It's Donnie Nelson with us. Is there a guy for you that jumps out over the course of this year in terms of the way that they've progressed? Because once upon a time, I had a campaign. It was called #UpgradeDodo for a guy who shoots the three and is able to play defense, because it seemed like late in games, he wasn't all that comfortable with it. But lately, really the last 3 months, he's shooting the ball great, but he seems to be more aggressive, more assertive. So to me, he would be the guy. But is there anybody on this team that you've seen sort of grow throughout the year that you're proud of?
Man, I mean, you know, Dodo and Jalen, you know, really, there's so many guys, you know. You know, Josh Green, I mean, recently, just his energy, passion. You know, Dwight's finally getting healthy and getting back to his, you know, true form. You could really make a case for every guy on the team in some form or fashion. But I think, you know, Dodo is just unique because, you know, for where undrafted for where he came and where he is now. I mean, now he's not only shooting the long ball with confidence, but, passing is infectious. And when you're playing with, a guy like Jalen and Luka, it really becomes fun sharing the ball and having all five guys touch it. And so I've really seen an uptick in his ability to, make plays rather than just a catch and shoot. He's putting the ball down one, two times, swinging it, finding the open guy, even through a lob pass the other night, which is straight out of the Luka playbook. But just really, really proud of the maturity and the development that, Jalen specifically and Dodo have shown this year.
Donnie, Mark's come on our station and talked about a little bit. He's addressed about the relationship between Luka and KP. And he says, hey, it's not always perfect in sports and all that. You're not always going to have the best relationships. How do you view the relationship between Luka and KP?
There was a day when, guys would hang out and hang out at each other's houses and this and that. I mean, just you can't really judge relationships in the modern day on how much, guys go to dinner with each other. That really doesn't matter. I mean, I think they're at different phases of their careers, different phases of their ages. You can take every guy on the team, not named Boban, and, say the same thing or make the same case. I think the fact that they're, our best two players, there's a little bit more scrutiny. Well, why aren't they, hanging out every night like Nash and Dirk were? Well, the reality is, we're at a different phase in terms of the NBA. There's not a lot of that happens. And I think it's just that. I mean, it's overanalyzed.
All righty, it's Donnie Nelson here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Luka last night says in order to win the championship, you got to beat everybody, so the seeding doesn't matter that much. Do you see it the same way? And is getting through the West this year realistic for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the challenge and what we're excited about. And, again, the fact that we're clicking, at the right time and I think in terms of matchups, if you asked, three different coaches and three different management folks, and they probably have a different take. I mean, the reality is you're going to have to beat, some really, really good teams. And I think when you start, trying to, figure out, or manipulate who you play against, you run into trouble.
Okay, other than, you can pick yourself if you want. Who do you think's the toughest out in the West right now with this playoffs about to get going? Is there a favorite, you think?
The Mavericks.
I love it.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad you said that.
Are you guys worried at all about a cease and desist from Tobias Harris? I know he and Boban were best friends and had a podcast, and he seems very offended by Luka and Bobby being best friends.
Well, I think Tobias is jealous because, Bobby can literally hold 120 goldfish in one hand.
Okay, that's we counted that. Has somebody done this research project?
I believe it.
Yeah, those guys are best of friends, as is, Luka. Look, Bobby is everyone's best friend, including, every fan in the arena. The guy is just an absolute joy to be around.
Are you at all of the home games? Because one of my favorite thing is when it's on TV, anytime a ball gets stuck, the camera goes immediately to Bobby, whether he's going to do anything about it or not. Like last night, the ball got stuck way up high there, and the camera just goes to Bobby.
Yeah, he's the broom saver.
It's just so funny.
Donnie Nelson here with us. He is great. How about the 14 minutes for Josh last night and for the first time this year he didn't start? How are things going with the season winding down here in his first year with the Mavericks?
It's really Rick's got really 8-9 guys that could start. I mean, the reality is it's matchups. Rick is going to make the right decision for the right, playoff opponent or Friday or what have you. I mean, it's the reality is, look, he trotted J.J. Bray out there to win a championship. And so there's no pride. We're all about winning. And, of course, you'd rather start than not. But the reality is it depends on who we're matching up against and what lineup gives us the best chance to win.
Donnie, I know this is like hindsight, but do you miss JJ in a way for his presence in the locker room and what he meant to your coaching staff and to you in a way just to kind of help the team along? You mentioned about a young team. Do you miss a guy like that?
Oh, I love JJ. I was texting him yesterday. He just got back in Dallas, after having a really good, season over in Spain. He is pound for pound, maybe got the biggest heart and the ultimate competitor. When you have winners like that, whether they're, in the locker room or like Devin Harris or, you just love those guys, around the team. I mean, Derek Harper, Rolando Blackman, these guys, Brad Davis, the fact that those guys, are around the team on road trips, when COVID's not driving us crazy. It just, gives everyone a sense of history and, Dirk, I mean, my gosh, there isn't anything that he wouldn't do for any of our players or the franchise. And when you have guys like that, kind of behind the curtain, willing at any text or call to step up, it's just a great, message for the young guys.
Donnie, before you go, can you give me an under the radar, either Red Dirt or Americana band to Pandora/Spotify?
Man, I tell you what, me, give me Randy Rogers, Wade, Stoney. I missed hanging out at Billy Bob's, and hopefully after we win a championship, we'll be able to have a nice little party out there.
That's the word from the CDC today. Get vaccinated, no more social distancing. So I'd love to see you out there, and thanks for joining us and giving your insights. And I'm sorry for being critical, Donnie. Turns out it's all good, huh?
Hey, no hard feelings, man, as long as we keep winning.
All right, yes, I'll drink to that. All right, we'll see you soon. Thanks again,
Donnie.
All right,
Donnie. Boys.
Take
Always
care.
Always a pleasure.
There he is, the general manager of your Dallas Mavericks, Donnie Nelson.
Such a parting shot. It's all good.
I'm sorry. Hey, he had his 16 minutes to tell his side of it. And, I appreciate, him coming on, especially how critical we've been. And there's always two sides of the story, right? I'm the loudmouth sports talker here, and I've been covering this game for 20 years, not quite the 40 years he's been in the game, and his dad can tack on to that. But I've seen bad chemistry happen. I've seen injured players happen. I've seen injured seven-footers happen. And I also know what teams sound like when they're looking to protect assets to, make sure they hang on to their flexibility in the offseason. But that was really cool. And thanks to Donnie for joining us here so late in the season with the playoffs right around the corner. And, it looks like the matchup with the Clippers, if things go well, they do have the weapons to make it a great series. I mean, it was 2-1 last year. If, it wasn't for the Porzingis injury, they end up losing to the Nuggets in the second round. So
sure,
it is doable. And that would be an incredible end of the season. But with how things have gone on a number of different fronts, the disappointment of Josh Richardson, the lack of health with Kristaps Porzingis, the lack of becoming a dynamic duo, you can say all you want. The guys don't go out to dinner. It's a video game generation. That's fine. He's bros with Boban, right? Yeah. That's what friends look like.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be friends, but if there's not a level of respect for the best player on the team, then I think that can be problematic. All righty, when we come back here in the G-Bag Nation, time for guest number two. Rangers slugger Willie Calhoun joins us here on 105.3 The Fan. All right, it is time for the Rangers player show here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. It's brought to you by TexasRangers.com. Catch all on the field tours and 21 single game tickets now, TexasRangers.com. The man hitting .308 with three home runs, left fielder Willie Calhoun joining you on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing good, thanks. And you know, let's talk about this season so far, Willie. I mean, you've had success before, but now we're almost a couple of months in, and here you are hitting over 300. So, congrats on that. How are you taking it all in?
Oh, it feels good right now. Hopefully, I can keep that going. And you know, we're working hard, and you know, trying to make things happen here.
What are the things you attribute your success to? What are the things you're continuing to work on?
Things that, you know, like I've really been working hard in the off season. I work a lot on, you know, making sure that I go back to my old ways of, you know, being able to use the whole field. And I told myself, you know, coming into spring training that I wanted to work hard and keep the things that I work on the off season, work with the hitting coaches here and make sure that I stay on top of that. And, you know, that's what we've been doing. And, you know, I've just been working with the hitting coaches every day and making sure that I maintain that.
Now, Willie, when there's a pitch that is above your eyes and you hit it for a single and you go back to the dugout, is Luis Ortiz mad at you or does he tell you great job?
They're all happy for me. Honestly, it's just something that I've always feel like I've been able to handle the high pitch well. You know, it's nothing that I work on. I don't really work on that. I think it's more of an approach and like what I think about and how to get to the high ball. But it's funny because, like, I don't know, I feel like I've always been able to hit that pitch. And, you know, sometimes I'm not saying I'll get a hit every time, but sometimes, you know, I'll either miss it or sometimes I can hit it well. So it's just, you know, it's a really big hit or miss with that pitch. I mean, it's a tough pitch to get to for sure.
Can you take us through after getting hit with a pitch by a left-handed pitcher? Like, what was the journey like coming back from that? I know there had to be anxiety and maybe fear and all these different things, but was there a moment where you thought, you know what, I don't notice it anymore, like, I'm back?
Yeah, it's weird. So, obviously, last year, you know, everyone went through a lot. But with just the hit by pitch, it just getting back in the box was a little bit uncomfortable for me. I didn't really feel that, like, hitterish way last year, I'd say, because of, you know, getting hit in the face. Like, I always imagined, like, the ball coming at me. And I told myself, and, you know, I talked with Woody and everyone after the season ended. I was like, hey, I really want to regroup and refresh and get away from baseball for a while just for, like, the off season. I want to go back to California. I want to go back to my hometown, spend a few weeks there, and then go down to L.A. and train and stuff and get ready for spring. And, you know, they were very supportive of that. Everyone was, and they're really happy that I was able to get away from it and kind of reset my mindset. Because, I mean, if anyone gets hit in the face, I mean, I feel like that's the worst thing that can happen on a baseball field. Just from, like, from a mental standpoint, it was definitely tough. I mean, it wore on me a lot. But I just told myself I wanted to, like I said, get away and kind of regroup and get away from it.
Was there, because I know, I believe you guys have, it's Mike Franco, right? You're the mental skills coach. Do you work with him at all in a scenario like that? Or was it more just get away, reset, come back?
It was more just like get away, reset type of thing for me. Just because the more I got away from the game, the more I didn't think about it. And then when I started swinging again, I made sure I did all my flips and everything from the left side so that I can get used to that again. And, I mean, ever since then, I feel completely normal now. I mean, thank God I don't have any of those anxiety things anymore. But, I mean, I don't wish that upon anyone, especially on a baseball field. I mean, that's an anxiety that is just not good. And I'm happy that I was able to get past that.
Yeah, so are we. Willie Calhoun here with you on your home of the Rangers.
Hey, Willie, you know, you've been DH-ing quite a bit here, and then you get an opportunity to play some outfield. You make a hell of a throw the other day holding the runner to first base. I mean, you know, John Daniels was talking about it the other day. Yeah, how do you keep yourself ready like that? You know, you're doing that DH stuff, doing a great job at the plate, but keeping yourself ready defensively.
Yeah, I think this year I really wanted to come in and just be a complete player. You know, I really felt like this was a year where, you know, we have a really young team, but we believe in our locker room. We believe that we're good. We believe that we belong. We believe that we can hang in there with anyone. I feel like we've been showing that over the young season so far. And I think this year for me, I told myself I want to come in and be a complete player. I don't really want to just be a one-dimensional guy that can just pull the ball and hit home runs. Like, I don't want to do that. I want to be more of a baseball player. And I think just working hard every single day with the staff that we have here. I mean, it's a really good environment we have in that clubhouse, and everyone in there is pulling the same rope, and you don't really have any resistance. So I think that's the biggest thing inside that clubhouse right now is everyone believes and everyone's pulling that same rope the same way. So I think that goes a long way with a winning team.
So Willie, using the whole field, was that your idea? Did the team want to do that? Is that a new trend for hitters reacting to the shift, or how can you flesh out that idea for us?
Honestly, I think it was kind of both, really. I know that was something that I wanted to do for myself because I feel like I'm a type of hitter that can hopefully, you know, continue to hit over 300 to 330. I feel like I have the ability to do that. I've done it in the minor leagues, so I feel like I should be able to do it here as well. And I feel like, you know, when you're at this level, I feel like you should be good enough to be able to control, you know, the barrel and situational hitting. I feel like you should be able to do that at this level. And like I said, I feel like I've been blessed with some really good bat-to-ball skills, so I kind of try to use that to my advantage. And, you know, if a team's playing me shift, I really don't mind it if that they have the shift in the game. Like, I try to use it to my advantage now and be able to shoot the ball over that way with any pitch. So, but hopefully by the end of the year, I can teams can say, you know, we can't shift Willie. Like, we have to play Willie straight up because he is that hitter that can hit the ball where he wants to. That's what I want my goal to be by the end of the season for teams to think about me.
Well, Willie, a great baseball philosopher back in 2017 once said, "I play three-hole," and his name was Willie Calhoun. And I wonder, when you're batting leadoff, do you like that? Is that something that you enjoy? Because I would imagine there'd be a sense of pride of, hey, I get to start this thing.
Yeah, I think the more you embrace it, the better you are at things. And, you know, I've really embraced the leadoff role. Me and Kiners, we've embraced the leadoff role. And I think it's a mindset. You have to have a mindset of being a leadoff guy. I mean, because you know that sets the presence of the game. And I feel like your first two batters can send a message to the opposing team right away. If you have those first two batters grinding your bats, you see that in their swings that, you know, they're hitting the ball hard right away. Maybe the other team's like, wow, they're going to come out aggressive today. I feel like the first two batters send a strong message right away to the other team.
Willie, how different are you from the professional that first arrived with the Rangers?
I can say I'm a lot different. yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've done all my growing up within the organization. I feel like, I feel like the front office and everyone drafted me. It feels weird that it honestly feels like I got drafted by the Rangers because I feel like I've done all my growing up over the last 4 years with the team. So I can definitely say it. If anyone knew me back then in 2017 and still they know me now, they can say, I think they can kind of agree that I grew up a whole lot.
Hey, Willie, you got the big series against the Astros this weekend, and we got a lot of sports hate up here for the Astros. Do you guys share sports hate with us for the Astros like we do on our radio station?
Not really. I mean, I don't really hear it that much, to be honest. Obviously, I know that the Astros alone have a lot of hate just around baseball because of the whole cheating thing. But I mean, I don't really hear it myself. I don't really hear it much.
Now, Willie, if we could, just in theory, like let's say we found a buzzer and we could like slap it on your chest underneath the jersey and you could know what pitch was coming, just in theory.
In theory,
In theory. Would you like that?
I think you ask any hitter, they would love that. I think if you ask any hitter in baseball, they would absolutely love to know what's coming every pitch, especially with the guys now. I mean, everyone's throwing 100, and if they're not throwing 100, their ball's moving 18 inches. So, I mean, it's really, if you tell any professional hitter what's coming, I feel like anyone would really love that. So, but like I said, I mean, that's all behind everyone, and I think everyone's just trying to go out there and compete now and just get some dubs.
It's Willie Calhoun with us, who just announced that he has no integrity inside the sport of baseball. How's your Warzone game?
My Warzone game? Honestly, I haven't played in a while, bro. Like, it's been a while since I've played.
Good professional.
I don't even have a setup right now in Dallas. During the season, I kind of just lay low, and I don't really play at all during the season. And then I start playing again in the off season. But I mean, if once I start playing again, I mean, I'm definitely have to let you guys know.
Okay, well, that's how you redeemed yourself, because that answer, after you just said that you want to cheat in baseball, you said that I focus on baseball in the season. So that's great. Way to redeem yourself.
It's funny.
He is everyday Rangers player, not everyday video game player. Left fielder DH Willie Calhoun. It's awesome to see you get comfy at that plate there again, and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you guys.
You got it. There he is, Willie Calhoun, right here on your home of the Rangers. Catch on the field tours and 21 single game tickets now with the Texas Rangers out there. Okay, quick. That was a lot of fun. Willie is super cool, man. Okay, quick news event, though. Kennedy Landry here with this story. Brian sent me the tweet there while we were talking with Willie. Starting today, Dell Diamond, the home field of the AAA affiliate in Round Rock, will no longer require face coverings. Okay, so that's a development there with the AAA team. It's outdoors.
I'm immortal, so it's whatever to me.
You got that vaccine?
I'm Moderna immortal.
Coursing through your veins. Here we go. Nation, what's coming up next? We're looking at the 340 segment. After back-to-back interviews with Donnie Nelson and Willie Calhoun, if you missed it, with the Odyssey app, you can go back to the beginning of any hour or segment you might have missed and catch up on everything. We have more sports coming up for you next in the Nation. All righty, thank you very much, Lucius. We're going to call a little bit of an audible here because we have a special guest joining us at 440, Casey Keeler, head coach at Sam Houston. They're going to be up in Frisco this weekend playing for the FCS National Championship against South Dakota. And KC is going to join us coming up at 4:40. Right now, let's go around the NFL. Brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Yes, sir. As the Aaron Rodgers turns is the subject of first down. As there's a belief that Rodgers was under the impression the Packers had agreed to trade him, goes the story at ProFootballTalk.com. The claim that Rodgers was told he'd be traded was first mentioned by Trey Wingo during a flood of nuggets that began 2 weeks ago, the first day of the draft. Trey had said that. He said, I heard Aaron Rodgers believes they told him, yep, we're going to trade you. Recently, Pro Football Talk says we heard the same thing. Rodgers, as the story goes, believes the Packers told him they would trade him and that the Packers have since reversed course. Per a team source, the Packers regard the notion that Rodgers was told he'd be traded as unequivocally false. The Packers weren't even aware that Rodgers believed he'd be traded before the reporting on the specific point emerged.
We got some poor communication going on around these parts.
Yeah. It seems crazy, and now that just takes the absurdity of the story, I think, to the next level, because now it's almost impossible to believe any part of this, right? I think you just got to trust actions more than words at this point.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is eventually going to show up and be like, I don't know what everybody's talking about. We were fine. and the Packers are going to say the same thing, and then they're going to go out and they're going to play football would be how I guess this ends up. But yeah, none of that makes any sense in the world. That it's like, oh, no, yeah, I thought I was getting traded. And the team's like, no, what are you talking about? And it's like, who doesn't communicate with their best player ever?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where would the idea that you were going to get traded come from?
Yeah.
It's bizarro world.
You know, maybe Rodgers had some demands, and he was like, I need to be traded. I don't want to play here anymore. I don't like the new coach. I don't like the fact that you took Alex Smith 14 years ago. I don't like the fact you took Jordan Love, they took Alex Smith. I don't like any of this stuff, right?
And that's that. So it sounds like you're trading me.
And then they said, okay. And
yeah, I would worry a little bit right now if David Dunn, I think, had a lot to do with this. Rodgers' agent.
Okay.
I think this is something that, you know.
He was doing dirty work?
Yeah, I think so. When Trey Wingo was reporting that stuff, and I was kind of talking to a lot of different people at the time about it. I'm like, how does stuff like this happen?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, David Dunn does this kind of stuff. So David Dunn feeding media members and like, hey, Aaron's a little disappointed. We thought he was going to be traded and all that. I don't think it's directly Aaron Rodgers saying stuff, but I think it's you need to kind of look at the agent here on this one. He might be the guy that's it's laying the coal to the fire and getting things going in that regard.
All right, here is Brian Broaddus with Second Down.
If there's one game, you know, I did my Crusty's prediction of the Cowboys schedule, right?
Yeah.
And I did pick one particular game as a loss for the Cowboys that you might be an indicator whether they're going to make the playoffs or not.
Oh, when you said they're going to lose to the Raiders and that bad prediction?
Yeah.
Is it that one?
My bad prediction of losing to the Raiders. But this is according to our NFL media friends. This is Brandon Mendoza. And he says if there's one game that you could look at that might predict whether the Cowboys' fate of getting in the playoffs, it's week 12. And that's a home game against the Raiders. He says since 2015, the Cowboys' result on Thanksgiving has correlated to whether they made the playoffs that season.
Huh.
The Cowboys won on Thanksgiving and made the postseason in 2016 and 2018, but lost and missed the playoffs in 15, 17, 19, and 20. So, I don't know, man. Crusty had them winning the division, but losing the Week 12 game against the Raiders.
Might want to rethink that.
Yeah, why don't you just change your results real quick? Why don't you just flip it?
No, I'm just going to say they're going to beat the trend here. They're going to lose the game, but they're going to find a way to win the division.
That's just a weird stat. Like, there's no way you're going to correlate a certain week to
week 12. It's Thanksgiving.
Numbers
man.
Don't lie, Jeff.
Men lie, women lie. The important thing is to contextualize the numbers which you're working with here, okay? That's just a random
week. It's a big word.
Since, 2015, Jeff.
You just randomly assigned meaning to the Thanksgiving game. I'm going to go find out what happens in week 3 of all these seasons and see if that one's
I don't know, Jeff. I think Brandon Mendoza has done some fine research here. I want to prove him wrong, though. But, you know, it's going to be a loss, but according to Crusty, they're going to find a way to win this division.
We'll have to put that in a time capsule and check back around Turkey Day right here in the G-Bag Nation. Here we go. Here's Jeff with third down.
Biggest holes left on every roster after having free agency and having drafted. Obviously, what we care about most is the NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys. Before I clicked on it, I was thinking I knew what the answer would be, and ding, 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 the answer for the Cowboys is the safety position.
Okay? Oh.
What do you mean? It's not very safe.
Safety, huh?
What do you mean? Yeah, safety.
Safety.
Steven said, obviously.
Obviously, I don't ever. Obviously, at the end of the day, I will never pick a safety.
He thought it was hilarious after day two of the draft. And he was like, you know, they got us again there at safety. Yeah, thought we were going to get one, didn't get one. They were planning to get one. And I believe they were planning to get Trevon Merrig. Until they got jumped by one pick and lost him.
The Raiders.
But they
at least they didn't take a Tristan Hill instead of taking a safety this time around. They legit got blocked, right?
Yeah, they did get blocked from taking the guy they wanted, I believe. You know, Steven was very open that we were going to there for a minute, and then it just didn't happen for us. And they're like, oh, when the Raiders took Merrig? And he goes, well, obviously that's what they think. It's like, well, yeah, so do you. That's what you were talking about 30 seconds ago. But
tear him up.
Safety on the Cowboys roster to me is terrifying. Donovan Wilson had a nice year last year. People like him. Fans like him. I like him. He's an NFL starter.
Yeah, he's fun too. He hits hard. And
they added Keanu Neal, but they tell us he's going to play linebacker. They added DeMonte Kazee, but when the season starts, he'll be 9 or 10 months off of an Achilles tear, and he's making near league minimum. And he has no competition back there. They're saying the guy they drafted in the 7th round, Israel, Mukwamu?
Mukwamu.
Signed him.
They're saying that, oh, yeah, we're going to look at him at safety. Well, congrats. You're looking at a 7th round pick at safety, so that doesn't count. What are they going to do if DeMonte Kazee either isn't very good or is not ready?
I like your Jordan Lewis idea.
It's an idea.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we've heard that from them. What's Reggie Robinson up to? He got moved to safety, but then we heard he was going to go back to corner. Now does he go back to safety just because you don't have any safeties? What are the Cowboys going to do at safety? I don't know.
I think Jordan Lewis would be a good answer there.
I do too.
I think we'll see that in training camp.
Ooh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I like it.
Other shortcomings on this team. Would you say left guard? I mean, Connor Williams is a better left guard, or Connor McGovern, whoever they put out there, they got at safety.
You got competition between competent people at left guard, so I don't think that that's a bad thing. you still have questions at left tackle just because of health.
Health.
I'm not worried about left. Are you worried about left guard at all? I think Connor Williams is competent.
No, I think the competition, I think they'll take the best guy at that spot.
Yeah.
And you think Brent Urban and the draft picks shore up defensive tackle?
Yeah.
More so than safety, yeah.
Yeah, and
not too
him
far
and,
behind,
him
though.
And Odighizuwa. I think those guys will shore up some of that defensive tackle stuff. I'm interested to see again. Tristan Hill and those guys, they really don't have a sponsor here. So I wonder if the Cowboys will move on from those guys if they don't play well enough.
And the biggest weaknesses around the NFC East, biggest roster holes, Giants, offensive line. That sounds promising for a quarterback that fumbles a lot and a team that wants to hand it to the running back all the time. Philadelphia Eagles, it's linebacker. And the Washington football team, it is tight end. Those are your holes in the NFC East.
All righty. Thank you very much, gentlemen. There it is, around the NFL. We usually do it at 4:40, but like we said, we're going to be having a Sam Houston conversation with the head football coach down there. He's coming up with his team to play for the FCS championship. All right. What Donnie just told us about Porzingis and the most important things moving forward for your Mavericks, who are coming off a big win. We'll reset you on that and more coming up next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.